D72 is the professional PC text multi-tool designed for automation in diagnostic, Windows repair, and malware removal. No other tool can help you automate more, relax more, and get paid with less effort than ever. Podnuts likes to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Hey everybody, welcome to Geeksters episode 129. This is a show where we talk about all things geeky. If it has a computer about it, we'll probably talk about it at some point. I'm Martin Obando. I'm one of your hosts. We have a full show here tonight. We got everybody covering from West, Middle, East Coast. Before we get going, I want to thank one of our hosts, Repair Tech Solutions, for their support of the Podnuts Network. They make a product called Tech Suite, the ultimate computer repair toolkit. It downloads, installs, maintains, and automates over 300 commonly used repair utilities. Find out more about it. Go to podnuts.com. Up at the top, there's a big old banner. Can't miss it. Go ahead and click on that. And we want to thank them for their support. So we got, like I said, a full crew, including a guest. But we'll leave the guest for last because that's how we like to roll here. They are last. I've already introduced myself. My name's Martin Obando. Hey, Tim, how's it going?
Oh, good. But the last shall be first.
Right. Well, yeah, so he knows.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, you really trust us because, I mean, either of us can voice, you know, just spoiler. And that's it.
Well, don't say anything. He can jump in and say
something. That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's a lot of trust.
I'll mute him.
We have a lot of trust as host and potentate, as you like to be called, and co-surf over here. And but I tell you what, I'm in a good mood today, man. I wish Fred was here because he could fix that. Whatever happened to that? You remember Fred?
That just caught me off. Funny. I'm assuming you want Fred to be here because he's a good guy, but
he's a big headed monster.
I do remember Fred. Fred, if you're listening,
he causes me more grief. You have no idea.
I think Fred should come back on the show as a guest.
I agree. But anyway, I'm well. And how's that next guy down the line?
Mitch,
I am. Just like Tim, I'm in a really good mood today. Got on a scale. I'm down 25 pounds in 35 days.
Oh, man, that rocks.
And only 50 more to go, 52. But slowly but surely, I'm getting there, and they're going to start the reconstruction on my family room tomorrow so I can get back down there hopefully sooner than later because I can't move up here.
Is the easy chair too easy?
No. Well, the chair is comfortable. Lazy boy. Yes, it is comfortable. But if I put the recliner up, I'm going to knock this mic over.
Well, don't do that.
No, I'm not.
Should we introduce our guest now, or should we wait a little bit longer?
No, it would be good because I can't wait.
No, go ahead.
You can't wait?
Hurry up. I got to pee.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hey, guys. Well, you know, everybody, if you haven't heard him, you know him by his voice. He's the new host of Podnuts. A lot of stuff on the Podnuts Network. It's Podnuts Daily and Podnuts something. But his name's Jeff. Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
How you guys doing? Thanks for having me on the show, guys. I appreciate it. I love listening to your guys' show. You guys crack me up almost every single week, and it's just a good time to sit back and relax and listen to tech and just your guys' stories. It's awesome. So I appreciate
it. We'll make sure to disappoint this week.
No pressure.
No pressure. I'm not feeling gruntled at all right now.
Oh gosh!
So Jeff, what? So you are on Podnuts Daily. I'd have to pull up my podcast, but there's another one. I'm sorry. It's not like I'm teasing people. I really, honestly, have forgotten the other show.
Well, I do two. Podnuts. I do. Yeah, two different shows. Podnuts is more of a the podcast where I interview companies in the computer repair field and kind of talk about their products and services that we use or have the potential to use in our businesses. And so we can learn more about them instead of just going to a website and kind of trying to figure out what their product or service is about. I sit down, I usually talk to either the founders or co-founders or somebody in the, you know, marketing department that can talk to me about what their product does. And, you know, because a lot of these companies are small and there's a lot of companies that I have never heard of. And it's just very interesting to talk to them and learn about them. And then Podnuts Daily is a podcast where I talk to other technicians about what they do in their daily business. You know, whether it be business practices, you know, what they're working on right then, or even specific subjects. As a matter of fact, we did our first specific subject, and Tim will like this because next week you'll get to hear an hour and a half podcast all about Windows 8. And myself and Corey Fruitman put that together, and it was a great show. The only thing I wish we would have done, and we will do in the future, is we will do a screen share next time so that people can see what we're doing. But a lot of the stuff that he taught me about, you know, technicians being able to use Windows 8, he even taught me some new stuff that I didn't know, and I can fly around that system no problem. It's a great system. So that'll be coming out. But that's kind of what we do on Podnuts Daily. So those are the two different shows, and then we're going to get into what I'm going to do with, we're actually going to take Podnuts to a daily, or not daily, I'm sorry, to a weekly show. We're going to change it up a little bit. So and we can talk about that right now if you guys don't mind. What I'm going to do with Podnuts is on Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. Eastern time, we're going to do, another co-host, Chris Carruthers from Remote Support Tech Team, are going to get on and talk about things that we work on in our shops. And it's also going to be a live call-in show for techs. We're going to actually take live calls on the air. And you guys are getting, now I've told other people about this, but this is the first time that it's being recorded. So you guys are, you're privy to some, you know, new information.
Nice.
Well, I'm going to start working on my accents.
What's that?
Sorry, Tim. I walked all over Tim.
Oh, that's all right.
No, I said I was going to have to start working on some different accents so I can call in multiple times.
There you go. Well, it's one of those things where I just kind of was looking at what we do. You know, I love talking to other technicians and learning about what they do. I love interviewing companies, but then I thought, you know, some people have asked for a live show and they said, hey, and trying to get a time with a regular co-host to be able to do it with my work schedule is tough. And so we were trying to figure out a day, and this is the time that we came up with. Sunday afternoon, 4 p.m., that way we can get the West Coast to the East Coast and kind of get everybody involved at a decent time of the day, early afternoon to mid-afternoon, and be able to take live calls, because people email me and ask me questions all the time about, you know, hey, what do you charge? How do you do this? How do you go about that? And I thought, what a perfect solution. You know, I don't want to talk to the regular consumer necessarily and teach them how to fix their computer, but I want to have information that I can share with other technicians out there, or even bounce ideas off of live on the air. And so we're going to do the same thing you guys are doing we're going to do the Google Hangouts. And then I've got a Skype call-in number, which I'll be giving out here shortly, that people can call in and actually just ask a question.
Great.
That is cool. Long overdue, doesn't work actually. Well for me, though.
Say that again.
I know. Go ahead, Mitch.
No, I'm saying that's long overdue. I'm really excited.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's gonna be good. One's a little early for me on Sundays, but I'll see what I can do.
I got to gonna have to tell the Ravens there have to switch their days when they play.
That's right. I'll just walk out of church. I got us to go.
Well, and that's one of the reasons we did it at 4 p.m. is I was really trying to get because I know a lot of people on Sundays do go to church, and I was trying to get it to when most people were out of church. At 1 o'clock or so. For the general populace. I know some people go a little bit later and stuff like that. We're trying to find that middle ground, so that's kind of why we picked that time. So
when is that going to, do you have a time that that's going to start?
Yes, and yeah.
I mean, I know, don't say 4 p.m. Eastern, because we know that, but yeah. A date. I should have said a date.
You want a date. Where are you going to take me?
There's a nice little burger joint down the way. It's not bad. They had handmade milkshakes.
Show is weird. What's wrong with the show tonight?
There's dates and Windows 8 and it's...
Oh, I bring out the best in everybody.
There's nothing wrong with 8.1. Okay, I'm sorry.
Anyways, okay, so we're probably going to shoot for... I want to do one more test this weekend with Chris and myself, and we're going to get a couple things nailed down. We tested some things out this week, and actually everything worked pretty well. We're looking at the 31st of August will be the first actual live show. So, and you guys are more than welcome. We'll be doing some testing. And if you want to come out this Sunday and, you know, maybe just hang out on Google Hangouts with us, or, call into the show and stuff like that, and test our queue system for queuing people up and stuff like that, you're more than welcome.
This Sunday?
Yep.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, no, I'll call in.
All right. Well, yeah, we would appreciate that help just so we can make sure that the systems are running right and everything is working well. So,
but all right. So, do you want just the host to call in, or if this is out by the time that that comes in, you want all 14,000 of our listeners to call in? Are we going to break this? Are we going to break your system? With we're gonna what was it The Geekster effect?
Well, I think Ring Central probably is a max of maybe 30 in the queue at a time. So,
all right. So everybody out there listening to us, draw straws. Don't all call in at one time. Pace yourselves.
But yeah, no, it's we're going to test it out with that system just to make sure that we can do it, you know, flawlessly, basically, and so that we can get the people on there and, you know, answer their questions. So, but
well, that sounds really cool. I'm definitely looking forward to that.
You know, I figured it was enough. It wasn't enough for me to podcast four times a week and, you know, do a couple Podnut shows. I figured, you know, I might as well do, or four times a month. I said I might as well do eight times a month, you know, because I just have that type of time, apparently.
You're a better man than me.
Oh, boy.
So more than just... So we've talked about quite a bit now, more than just podcasting on the Podnuts Network, you also own a business.
Yes. Yep.
And you're located Midwest, right? Mid-ish?
Yeah. Well, Eastern Michigan, you know, Michigan, middle state, southern part.
Oh, see. Michigan, I'm in Utah, whatever.
If anybody wants to look it up, I'm in Canton, Michigan. You know, Google Maps will show you right where my house is, and it says Tecna LLC on it. You can't miss it. So, yeah, I own Technut Computer Repair is my business, and I work out of my home, and I fix computers from time to time. I've got a couple different things going on. Because of my work schedule and stuff, what I did was I actually hired Chris from Remote Support Tech Team to take all my phone calls for me. So even if I'm at work during doing my full time job, he can take the phone calls. He does remote support for me if he can do it remotely. And if he can't, he'll set an appointment up for me at the times that I'm available. And people either drop their computers off or I'll go out there and, you know, fix them on site. So that's kind of...
Is he the one you had as a guest on one of the shows?
Yeah, he was on Podnuts.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah. So
you're using them. That's very good.
Yep. Well, I was looking for a service that would... a real person would answer the phone. But part of that problem is, I mean, I could have had my wife do it or whatever. And she's like, well, I'll do it. But she has no technical, you know, skills necessarily to be able to answer questions. So it was kind of like she could basically answer the phone, put something down in my calendar, you know, that type of thing. Or I could call them back when I'm available. Problem is, because of my working hours, a lot of times when a person calls me, it might be 8 hours before I can get to calling them back. So I wanted something that was set in place where people could basically, you know, get handled right away. And hopefully if they can be handled remotely, that's fine. If they can't, then we'll have to set up an appointment or something like that. So, and that's been working out for me so far.
Well, that, and it's nice when somebody could pre-qualify the call and kind of decide, you know, maybe it's not something they'd even tend to right away, which you can, it's great. But, you know, if they know enough to at least set a, you know, the threat level, at least, you know, is it a red light, yellow, like green light thing? Can it wait 8 hours? Can it wait four? So is something about to burn down?
Right.
You know, when you don't have that background, everything is like a disaster until you know, because you don't know. So, yeah, that's good. And you know, you don't want to put your wife in that situation. I wouldn't.
No.
I mean, I could work with my wife, but it would have to be something that she knows. Like, because by the third day, I'd be like, quit telling me these things. I don't need to know everything.
Embroidery.
I don't know anything, remember? Oh, that's all right.
Actually, my wife, she's pretty awesome. She does actually my marketing and stuff. She, you know, her and the kids actually go out and put flyers out for us and, you know, awesome. You know, marking around the, you know, local neighborhoods. I am I'm a little different than everybody else. Not everybody else. I'm a little different. I run my business a little bit differently. I only work in about a 6x6 square mile radius. I will not go any farther than that because I have no desire to drive. Unfortunately, like Martin was telling us earlier, 25 minutes one way.
Oh, so, come on. You should come out with me.
No.
Come on.
No.
That's why I listen to my podcasts.
Yeah.
I drive 100 miles a day.
Well, see, I work in a factory, so that's where I listen to 40 hours of my podcasts on the factory floor. So that's my podcast time. But, you know, that's something that could change if I were to go full time in, you know, when I retire from my regular job. That's one of my goals, and it's the reason I'm building my business. So the point to that is I plan on being in this business for a long time, and that's why I really wanted to start Podnuts Daily back up, and then Podnuts just kind of fell into my lap And I think it was, I actually did two shows side by side because of you, Martin. You had sent me an email at the beginning of the year about somebody that was interested in talking about his product or service, and he was also a technician. So I had a couple shows right off the bat that kind of started me, and so that was kind of nice. And then I've just been, you know, getting in contact with people. Sometimes people contact me. Other times I'll reach out and contact people, and they'll, you know, they'll talk to me. So, but yeah, it's been fun. So,
what's your association with Podnuts? I mean, how did you get to be this? Where did you, were you just a,
you were a guest at one time,
or casual list, or you start as a guest? I mean, how where'd that start?
Okay. Unique story. Not really that unique. Anyways, back in 2008, when Steve Cherubino started Podnuts, the original, he had one podcast, Podnuts, and he would bring in people and interview people. I think he was probably into show, I want to say number 10, and I just had found the show in late 2008. I gobbled all 10 episodes up immediately within a couple days. And because there was nothing out there like that, and he was talking.
Now, he wasn't doing video at that time, right?
No. Well, I, you know what? Audio. Yeah, I think it was pretty much just audio.
Yeah, because I was on 8. I did 8.
Okay. All right. So I started listening to that, and then shortly thereafter, he started Podnuts Daily, where he would come home from his shop and right. basically talk about what he had fixed that day.
That was
and
awesome, so, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, it was great. So
I was like a crack addict, like daily.
I think he used to do it on Justin TV, I believe.
Yeah, I think he used Justin TV or, yeah, one of those. So he started doing that. So I started listening to Podnuts Daily from, you know, from his very first episode, and have just been with it the whole time. I was on, I came on Podnuts Daily a little bit later, but I was on, what was one of the other shows where they did the roundtable discussion show?
Not Nuts at Night. It was
Great Tech Debate.
Correct. That's it.
Yep, the Great Tech Debate. Yep. So I was on that show. You know, so that was kind of cool. So, you know, that's where I kind of got into the whole, you know, podcast. I came on just basically to be a guest and, you know, just be able to talk tech with somebody. So that was fun for me. And then, you know, before Steve had sold the business.
Stole your heart.
This is what happens when you podcast a lot. Your tongue gets tied. No. But when he was about to sell the business, and we were doing one of our later podcasts where I came on as a guest, I basically told him, I said, well, if you or Dor or whoever, you know, whoever's going to take over, or whatever, needs some help, you know, with these shows, it's, you know, in this field, I said, let me know. And he goes, okay, you know. And so, you know, during that time, he had sold the business to Steve McLaughlin, you know, Door to Door Geek, our, you know, beloved owner. And
fearless leader, my captain,
Linux guru. Okay,
devilishly handsome.
That's right,
strikingly.
All right, do we butter him up enough there? Okay,
yeah, that's so, good.
My so, sweet little imp.
So anyway, so you know, Steve started doing some of the shows, and he started taking over everything and doing Podnuts Daily and Podnuts, and he was doing MyHardDriveDied.com, and he was doing Linux for the Rest of Us, and you know, and all these other, you know, shows were kind of starting up in different things. And then Podnuts Daily kind of went on a hiatus. I know a couple other people came in and they were doing some of the Podnuts shows. I think, Martin, you had done a couple shows. And basically, April of this year, Dor just contacted me out of the blue and said, hey, I think him and Steve had been talking. He said, hey, would you be interested in hosting Podnuts Daily? And I was like, all right, well, yeah, you know, because I was in the right position at the right time where I could, you know, afford to buy some decent equipment to get started.
I set the bar pretty high. So
yes, you did.
You know, you thought I can beat this fool.
And by the way,
I mean, look, he's like, I think I can get better equipment than Tim. I mean, who knows?
You're probably using the same mic as me. I'm just using a Shure SM58.
I don't know. They just
none of us are using that.
They got They got upset and sent me one.
and I'll tell you, being on stage shows and stuff like that, and working in the church and whatnot, Shure SM58s. You could basically, if I needed to ever pound a nail in anywhere, I could basically pound a nail in with this thing and still use it. So that's why
Steve C loves you.
Yeah.
He's got the same thing.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a great mic. But, you know, so anyway, so he'd said, yeah, why don't you, you know, put some stuff together. So what I did was I literally, guys, this is no lie. I spent probably at least 100 hours over the month of April just watching videos, trying to figure out what equipment I was going to get, what types of things I was going to need to do a mix minus. And basically, Martin, so you know what a mix minus is basically when a caller calls in via Skype, Google Hangouts, etc., you basically you have an auxiliary input send. Or an auxiliary send. And so what will end up happening is a person is talking into Skype or Google Hangouts or whatever, their signal will come back to them and they'll hear it in their ear shortly thereafter. So they'll get like this reverb effect. And what a mix minus does is if you have an aux send, which I have two on my mixer, you can basically turn the aux send down to nothing so that they don't get any feedback into their headphones. And that way they can be on Skype or Google Hangouts or whatever. So that's how that all works. So anyways, but I had to figure out, I had done a mix minus years ago and I still struggled with exactly how to put stuff together. And I wanted it to be good because Podnut shows are a step above a lot of other shows. And their audio quality has always been top-notch. You know, Steve started that a long time ago. So I didn't want to come in, just a subpar equipment, you know, to start podcasting. So, and plus, the other reason was I really wanted to make it easy on my guests to be able to come on the show. You don't have to worry about recording anything. I got it. Just come on the show, have a headset or a microphone and earbuds or headphones, and you can talk to me. And we'll just talk. I'll record it. And so I started doing that. And Dor was editing the podcast, the first couple he did. And I said, Dor, I said, listen, I really want to help out. And let me go ahead and try to edit these myself. And so I talked to Steve C. Spent about probably a couple hours with me one night. And just we went through the he was looking at my screen share. And he basically was... we're going through and editing a podcast. So he really showed me a lot of different little tips and tricks and things that I could do. And because of that, I was able to put my own podcast together. And then I started uploading it to the site also. That way, because the biggest thing is, I knew Dor was already busy doing a lot of different shows. And I was like, dude, I'm not trying to pile more work on you. I'll do it because I can, you know. And
that's good that he lets you do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was an obstacle right there.
Well, yeah. And this is basically how it went down, and he'll tell you the same thing. Steve Cherubino basically yelled at him and said, if he wants to do it, let him do it.
So you know what I'm talking about. Because when we, you know, when Geeksters used to be on the Geeksters.tv, because I used to do it all, he said he has to do all the editing, which was good for me because I was tired of it.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, and he took a long time. Again, he took a long time to learn how to edit and get good quality and get the levels mm-hmm. and stuff. You know, he's got it down, you know, to where he can get these things done in like 7 minutes.
Yeah, he's using that, I forgot that disk, what that Linux, oh, I forgot that software, Q something,
Q-Track.
Q-Tracker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he, you know, and it's, but again, even 7 minutes. You know, you look at the different processes that need to be done, and it's a lot of work to do a lot of different shows. So I figured, and I like to tinker with this stuff. So I like to learn. I like to, you know, kind of do things. And that's why, you know, I, you know, approached him about that. And so that's what I've been doing.
All right. I have a question for you. What kind of mixer do you have?
It is, oh gosh. I knew
if we're comparing mixers, mine's a Hamilton Beach. It unplugs. I can put like a cookie dough mixer
not
in it.
Not that kind of mixer.
Oh. Well,
It's the Xenix X1204 USB.
Okay, Behringer.
Oh, it's that one.
It's a Behringer.
Of course.
Yes,
I would expect no less than
okay, that's probably on a par with what I have a Mackie Pro FX8. I have two aux sends, but one of them's an FXN and then a regular aux send.
It's the same thing on here, but you could they're both aux sends. You can do so. You could do two mix minuses on that one.
Right, right. But I still had problems. I was still doing something wrong. I tell you what, you know, since I had to unplug everything, come up here when I brought everything up here, and I forgot how to. I forgot what goes back in the aux send is that the it's the audio from whatever computer I'm coming from goes into the aux send, right? Or is it the other way around?
Well, mine are go USB back sound cards, so mine are two. Yeah.
Or is it coming out and going back into the computer? I forgot. I have to look at my notes.
Yeah, hold on one sec. I'll let you know.
I have this one cable, and it just plugs into the side of my laptop.
Here, is it like a roundy thing, or is it like a little square, long rectangular thing?
Actually, I got some.
Mine's roundy.
Is it?
Here's some.
Is it roundy? Mine's like a rectangular thing.
Here's some of the stuff I use right here. Actually,
didn't hear a word.
No, it's okay.
I use these sound blasters, these XFi USB sound cards, this thing here, and this thing really sound good.
Oh, okay.
Sounds good. I don't know what you use, but
I'm using a USB 2202 Behringer cheap $20, basically USB sound card.
Yeah. Wow. I know what you're talking about.
I would have gone with the 2203 myself, but now, I'm not judging.
I have one of those, but I think it's
name is like $100 at least.
I've actually got two. So, one of the other things I have to have a separate computer. So, I wanted a backup also, but I had to, for the separate computer to bring in the Skype calls, that's the other reason I got the other card. So, if something does happen, I can at least, swap it over. If one dies, I can at least still do, record regular podcasts.
Well, if you don't mind, when you have time, in your spare time, can you map it how you have everything connected?
Yeah.
And, send it to me sometime. Yeah. I appreciate it.
No problem. I probably should do that anyways, because if I ever have to unhook everything, it takes me forever to figure out how to
put that's what I'm saying. I forgot. I only had the one. But it seemed like when I had two, because I could set it up where I could, you can install multiple Skypes on one machine.
Right.
But I would use different cards, or internal, but then I started putting them at different machines. But it seemed like, you turn that aux down, right? So he can't hear himself.
Right.
But then the other person doesn't hear him. If you got another Skype caller, they don't hear him either. So you have to mix it up a little bit. And you know what I'm saying? Or am I doing wrong?
Well, okay. So the two aux send channels, the one that he's not on, or the one that's not going to the aux send, you basically have to turn that up so that it's going out. Same thing on if you're in channel one with your mic, you've got to turn both your auxiliary sends up so that he can hear you. And then same thing with the other two. If you're only doing one.
But the problem is going to be the Skype callers, not us.
Right. Well, with the Skype caller, if you want to send your voice to him, you got to have both the aux sends up. But on the channel that Skype caller's on, if you're only doing one Skype caller, all you got to do.
Yeah, that's no problem.
Yeah, you can just turn it down.
But my problem was with two when I tried to do two.
If you have two, you have to turn one of the one up. So if they're in, let's say you had aux one, okay?
Right.
So on that particular channel, you're going to have, for that Skype caller, you're going to have aux one is going to be down.
Right.
But the secondary aux send for him, for that same person, you have to turn up. Mm-hmm. So that sends the voice, and vice versa on the other side.
Are the opposites.
Yep.
For each caller.
Okay. You got it.
That's what I thought. That's what I was doing.
So, yeah, that's basically what you do with that. And, flawlessly on Sunday, we were able to get the Skype call in to work. No problem through the mixer. I had my wife call in, and me and the other guy were talking. She could hear both of us, and we were using Google Hangouts on air, and then my secondary computer for Skype calling, and it worked beautifully. She could hear us. We could hear her. And the
Google Hangouts, you could hear it all in the Google Hangouts?
Yep.
Very good.
So that worked out real good. Now, the only thing that kind of threw me off on a Google Hangouts, I didn't realize how much lag time there was.
There is a bit of a lag.
But, that's fine. It works out just fine. So,
well, Skype, they changed. Now you can have, I think, up to 10 people back in again. They switched back like they did before.
Right.
So, actually, first they started doing, I got some kind of invite thing or whatever it was, where I could get it for a year free of the premium thing. But now I think it's just they went back to the way it used to be.
Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah, you can have more than, you can have group video calling in there. The nice thing about Google Hangouts is you can send it right to your YouTube channel. And, instead of with the Skype, you got to use something like Mixcast or whatever, or Wirecast, not Mixcast.
I do have Wirecast.
Okay. And that's something I will eventually probably do down the road. One of my goals is, and just to let you guys know, because I think this would be really interesting, is when I'm able to, raise enough money or pull some of my own money together or whatever, I want to get another mixer that I'm going to be able to do four mix minuses. And what that will enable me to do is I'll be able to have myself and three other guests plus a call-in. And so we can have like a roundtable event where I can record all the all the audio coming in and out and stuff like that. And then so we can have bigger groups that are able to, you know, be on these types of calls and be on, you know, like a live tech show or you know, even have roundtable discussions or stuff like that every once in a while. So, right. But, you know, that costs a little bit of money. And then you can do it with Skype. But the thing is with Skype, you got to have, like I said, you got to have that software. You got to be able to push it to, you know, I think the newest Wirecast will push it to YouTube. I think the old one used to just do Ustream and Justin.tv.
If they're doing YouTube, they just started because they weren't doing it before. Because I used Justin or Ustream. Yeah. But I'm not sure they do. It would be good. But the bad thing is about YouTube. They want to monitor everything that comes across there. If you say the wrong thing, and you know, because we did one show on I think it was the Unbootables, Tim. And We probably should have done just one show.
Right.
We played some videos that were already on YouTube, and they sent me an email saying we're not going to hold it against you, but you can't play copyrighted material. But it was already on YouTube.
Yeah, so
never did. And yeah,
they're pretty strict about that.
Yeah. That's the only thing I've heard. I, you know, fortunately for myself, you know, for what we're doing, I don't plan on playing any type of copyrighted material. So hopefully I'll be able to avoid that. But yeah, it is. I mean, you know, you've got all these people out there that want their dollar. And, you know, if they think that somebody's stealing it from them, even though they're not, they get real irritated about that.
Yep.
It's a sort of no tolerance kind of thing where, you know, instead of trying to police instead of being judicial about it, deciding who's doing what's right and who's doing what's wrong, just nobody can do any of it. And so I wouldn't you say it's probably something more like that? I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I mean,
we weren't making a buck off. Nobody was making any money off of it. And most of the things we were showing were either funny because they were supposed to be, or they were funny because they're not. But I mean, we weren't actually like nobody was being disparaged or injured, you know, legally from it. And so
you're thrown into a whole you're thrown into the whole mix because basically their policy is if somebody says take this down, they just have to do it. They don't, you know, and so they're not looking at what type of content it is necessarily. And that's, you know, you're exactly right. You know, a YouTube video that's already up there should be playable, even on another podcast. What does it matter? But, you know, from a revenue standpoint, they're looking at, and what I mean by money is if you're showing ads on your YouTube and you guys are showing it, then, you know, they're like, well, wait a minute. Nobody's coming to the YouTube channel to check it out where I get paid. You know, they're just, you know, they're going through this other medium. But to me, guess what? If you guys bring a video on your show, I'm going to go right to YouTube and watch it because a lot of times you don't play the whole thing or whatever and I'm interested in it. I'm going to go watch it anyways. So to me, it's just more, it's more out in the open there. And I just, these rules are funny. And, you know, the way the music industry was years ago, they kind of got away from all that stuff. And right now the movie industry is going through the same types of things, you know? Yep. So need to get rid of all the middlemen and just go direct to the source and we'll avoid all these problems. Comcast, everybody's just got to go. Oh, did I mention Comcast by name? I'm sorry.
Wait till after the show because that's what I'm on right now.
Well, me too. So,
me too.
Yeah.
Well, three of us.
Oh, that sucks to be you guys.
Because that was my choice, of course.
Well, you know.
Because there's no monopolies, right? There's no monopolies in your area.
Well, so, not at all.
You said Monoploy?
CenturyLink?
What's your choice? DirecTV, DSL, or, you know, or satellite DSL, or Comcast cable?
That's it.
I just have Comcast. That's it.
Come on. You have no DSL in your area? You got to have something else.
Maybe there's DSL.
I'm too far out.
They have 3 megabytes down max for me.
Oh, I know. DSL. It's not really a choice because those other services suck.
Right.
You know?
Dial-up was fine when I had it. I mean, it worked perfectly. It was just, you know, it was, you know, it's kind of slow now that I think about it.
You think?
But no, it's, I mean, this is my only choice. So what am I going to do? But, you know, I don't complain. You know what? It'd be nice if I had choices and whatever. I don't know. It works. I mean, it costs money, but everything costs money. And you know what? I have choices with my cell phone and I think it's ridiculous, but this, I still pay it. What am I going to do? Not have it? It's a luxury. I mean, this isn't
right,
a luxury.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, if I had to shut it off, I would just get, you know, I guess.
I mean, I have more trouble with Comcast TV than I do with the internet.
I'm very satisfied with it. I hate to say that about a big company, but I really am. I've never had a problem, so I'm happy. Yeah. Well, if I had a problem, it'd be a complete disaster because I'm sure it would just be awful. But
we'll try to cancel that service.
See what happens. They're going to try to retain you. Don't get me wrong. I had Comcast years ago, and it wasn't that long ago, maybe 5 years ago. Comcast as a service was completely and utterly fine. I had no problems with it whatsoever. The only thing I didn't like is whenever there was a problem, they wanted to charge me every time. And I'd already diagnosed what was going on and, hey, it's not my problem. It's outside the house. And they still wanted to charge me. So I got irritated. And I, fortunately, in my areas, I had another choice with Wide Open West. And so they offered me a nice package at a good deal, and I went with them. And, you know, it's been fine ever since because they don't try to charge me for every little thing that happens. It's like they just come and fix a problem because I'm already paying them a monthly fee. You know, Comcast things, well, we got to pay the technicians. Well, I understand that. But really, the bajillion dollars that you're making is not enough. I mean, you know, and not only that, you don't give all content to everybody. It's like you're still holding some content back. And I don't know. It's very frustrating. But yeah, most people don't have a choice. So you just have what you have, you know?
Yep. I hear you.
Well, I don't want to bring this show down or anything like that. We don't have to talk about content.
No, I mean, I'm for the most part, I'm satisfied with Comcast. I mean, I got that XPlus, which is up to 105 down, which I don't get that, but I'll get in the 90s quite a bit.
Nice. I'm jealous. Well, that's more than I got.
But yeah, but the upload, it's only around 10, between 10 and 15.
Still more fine. Me.
Still good. Yeah, yeah.
It's more. No, that's great. That's a great service. I'm on the lowly 50 down, 5 up, you know?
Well, I'm on 50-10, so.
Okay. I wish my upload was a little bit more sometimes, you know, how many times do you upload things, you know?
Yeah. Well, if I lived in the city a little bit closer, I've got a client there that CenturyLink has brought fiber in, and they get a gig down, gig up for $80 a month.
Oh!
And I thought, no. And so I brought my laptop one of the times I was out there, and I plugged it in, and sure enough, gig down, gig up. Oh. I was like, oh, are you coming my way? They said no. But yeah, so these apartments.
And that was before they asked where.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, but it's not apartment complexes like you would normally see. They're now the new, you know, everything's going vertical. And so it's those kind of lofts and apartment complexes that way. And so what they've done is they brought fiber into every single complex, every single unit, and then you just pay monthly what you want. So you can go in, you can choose your different plans, and you just call them up, say, this is the plan I want, and you just pay monthly. You can bring it, you can, you know, lower it 1 month or raise it up the next month, whatever. $80 a month, $80 a month, 1 gig down, 1 gig up. Yeah.
Man, I could really rule it playing video games then.
I know my solitaire. I played solitaire. It was so fast. I still lost, but it was fast.
Yeah. Oh,
I was
man.
Sweeping the mines like a boss.
That's right. That's right. Bam. Well, cool. I'm excited for what's going on with DGF. And you know, you had the people who do Night Night on.
Yeah.
Night Night. I haven't listened to it yet.
Night.
Night.
Sorry, I've got to drive places tonight, so I'll listen to it then.
So, Martin, what you're saying is you're not listening to my shows?
I'm not listening to them yet. Did you listen to the last episode of Geeksters?
Absolutely.
No, you did not, because it hasn't been published yet.
Oh!
Ouch!
I moved to the Smiths.
Well, whatever was in my podcatcher, that's what I... Yeah, it's empty right now, so there's no more brand new Geekster episodes. But as soon as one comes up, except for mine, I'll listen to.
So yours takes... Oh, wow.
Now, do you guys listen to yourself every week?
These guys got to listen to me once a week.
I will download it, not every week, but just to see how my mic's sounding.
Yeah, I skip through it, but yeah. it's like watching a rerun. I already know what these are going to say next.
Right, exactly.
Wow. I listen to it, and I enjoy it. I feel stupid now.
You guys have professional voices.
Professional voices.
Yes, you do.
Oh, you're out of
my
your
voice
mind.
Sounds like it's. I think that came out of a washing machine or something.
That comfy chair is getting to you.
My voice sounds like a broken washing machine.
No, you got a good voice too. But Jeff sounds like you know you.
Oh, Jeff is like NPR over here, man.
Yeah.
No, wait, I compress the dog out of my signal. No, I just, you know, I just enjoy talking. And the thing I think with podcasting is so great is, you know, when people can just come on and share and talk, and as long as it's understandable, man, that makes a great show. And, you know, Tim, I'm on the factory floor, and when you sit there and just crack up for absolutely no reason whatsoever, I mean, I'm rolling down the ground on the dirty ground.
I'm not maniacal.
Laughing.
There's usually some reason. Maybe it's in the video. Maybe it's in the video.
But no, I know it's just a great show to, you know, to watch and or not to. I wish I could watch it, but unfortunately I work nights, so I'm not normally around. I'm on vacation this week, that's why I was able to be able to come on your guys' show. So.
Oh, okay, cool. But, very nice.
But nice. I do listen to every episode of Geeksters in my podcatcher.
I really feel like we're three guys that would just hang out after work and just shoot the breeze for a half hour anyway, and so the fact that we're you know so far apart from each other and we can do this and oh my holy hell that people actually come listen to it and we can actually like maybe the fact that I have the because I came around Podnets about the same time you did Jeff I'm not sure
okay.
You know I wasn't you know I was a, felt like I contributed a little bit you know in the chat rooms and that or the forums rather but I listened to all the shows but I was kind of just an accidental lurker I just never really got involved until Mitch here. I hope that that's buried, you know, off the.
No, it's
somewhere.
Not buried. It's great. It's classic. Do you know how Tim got involved, Jeff? Do you know? Have
no,
you
I
heard
don't.
That episode
no,
on the Unbootables? I'm gonna have to send you that episode 6 of the Unbootables because you remember Nuts at Night, right?
Yes.
And then Steve didn't want to do it anymore, so I offered to do it.
Okay.
And it's a long story. I don't want to get into it, but I'll send you that episode. I'll have to find it. And it's really good. It's because you know who Liam is, right? You know,
oh, yeah.
Liam was on there. And it's when Steve D'Amico was hosting. It was really good. It was great.
Back in the day, I think a little bit, I listened to a few of those episodes when I was listening to some of your other guys' stuff. I think actually before you guys came on to the Podnuts Network.
Right.
So I think there was, at the time, there was something wrong with the feed because I was getting, like, I can't remember, I was getting both shows in the same feed or something.
They
or
all,
something.
You know what, we had, when we first started Geeksters.tv, he was on the show a few times, this British guy, Jason Mutton, real smart kid and everything, young guy, but he set up, we used his, you know, his website, his server and everything. But I used to tell him, people complain, goes, well, it is on two different, I don't know. So I don't know nothing about that
right.
part. And I would tell him but he only did 2 shows. He got involved with his girlfriend. So then I had to learn how to do everything in WordPress, upload it. And so I finally learned enough how to do that. Some of these videos from those shows are still up there on Geeksters.tv.
Okay.
But I'm not sure episode six should be up there. So I got to find it. But it's hilarious. I mean, it's classic. And somebody volunteered to make an Android app for us. I don't know if you heard that Android, the Unbootables Android app?
No, I haven't. Oh, that's got to be classic.
It's still up there. Go look, assuming you use an Android.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Look on the Google store. It's still up here, Unbootables.
No, I'm a Windows guy and I use iPhones. No, that just.
Okay. I don't know. I just want to make sure.
Oh, sure. Rub it in.
Oh, you're not a Windows guy.
Well.
You're a Linux guy, so I would expect you to use something, you know, something like an iPhone.
What? That doesn't make any sense either.
My gosh.
Actually, I'm so confused.
That's the most confusing insult I've ever heard.
Exactly. Wait, thank you. No, don't.
Actually, you did have an iPhone when you first came.
I did. I have an iPhone. I'm coming up with OLF is my 1-year hiatus from the iPhone. Because
I remember we're driving from BWI. You're asking, how do I do this door? How do I do
what?
That?
You know? And my thumb was too short. Now it's elongated and I can reach across the screen. And
see, Jeff, I don't know if you know this. We all got to meet each other at OLF last year. So that was one of the highlights of my life.
Oh, cool.
We had a great time. Great 3 days. Yeah, I didn't sleep any.
Right. You know, I heard it was a lot of fun. Everybody
it made me drink all
it.
This stuff that I've never drank before.
It's called water.
Yeah. Moonshine, I don't think it's water.
Moonshine. It looks
good. It's what Red Dwarf had, right?
Yeah.
That you could buy it legally in Michigan. Am I right, Jeff?
You know what? I have no idea, to be honest with you.
That's the last time I drank.
I last time I drank when I was like 22, I think. So I,
yeah, I'm not much of a drinker either, really. but I did then.
He knows what state then. Moonshine sold illegally.
No, this was. He got Red Dwarf. He bought this stuff at a Target. I'm serious. That's what it said. It said it was moonshine. Maybe I'm wrong.
He bought it where?
At like Target in
Target.
In
he bought moonshine at Target, Michigan.
He did. It was bottled. It was all right. I'm probably got it all mixed up. I hope Dwarf listens to this and takes
you know what?
Up
that's because, you know, being from Ohio, that's the only good thing I've ever heard about Michigan.
you ever heard of anything about Cleveland? Oh, no, never mind. Forget that.
I'm not going to start that.
So, hey, Martin, what type of phone do you have?
I have a Samsung Galaxy S4.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still rocking the S3.
HTC One M8. It is fast. Unbelievable.
Where did you get that?
I told you when I did. Did you listen to Voxer?
Don't you watch this show?
Don't you watch? Actually, you were not on the show.
I've had major issues here recently. Well, I didn't
no, you, actually, it was the time you took your daughter playing softball.
It was during softball season.
All right. Okay. I'll get caught up. I missed that.
I mean, it was a good deal. I mean, I stayed with Verizon, so the phone was like $100. Then they gave me a $200 gift card, so I did pretty good. But I lost my unlimited data. But since I was grandfathered in, they still gave me. I had the same plan, 6 gigabytes. I have 6 gigabytes of data, but I don't have unlimited text. Unlimited phone. I have like 450 minutes, which I use about 30 minutes a month.
Right.
Oh, so yeah.
So it's, you know, and it went up. I get 17% off where I work, but they don't do the data anymore. But still, it went up for like $69. It went up to like $71, $72. And I just love the phone. It's
good for you.
No problem. I mean, just like in 8 seconds, it's booted. You know, I turn it off, turn it back on, it's booted up. I mean, it's just really, it's one of the, and you know, people are complaining about the camera because it's 4 megapixel. I just love the camera. I mean, and it just bursts. It just like, I can take one shot after. It has a burst thing in there. And I don't even bother taking my cord to charge it up at work anymore because, you know, it's.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that'd be nice.
That's cool.
Yeah, really, really good.
Yeah, megapixels are kind of a misnomer because, you know, a lot of it has to really do with the camera lens itself, how much light.
Yeah, I think it's got like a 2-lens thing, and I don't mind, forget how it works. But they're really decent. I mean, it's not like a digital 35mm, but it's better than the previous two Android phones I had. I mean, I'm really satisfied.
But you're not blown it. I mean, most of us look at our pictures, I would imagine, in a little, you know, 3x5 format or whatever it is.
It's not blown up
to poster size them out anywhere. So
if I were into that, I'd get a nice camera. But I just want to do something fast.
Exactly. Yeah, and if you could take burst mode in a camera like that and get, you know, I love doing that on the cameras because you can get at least one decent shot, especially when kids are doing something. You know, low light, inside the house and stuff like that still is, you know, cruddy. But anything outside, man, you can have some beautiful pictures with a camera phone. It is amazing.
Well, I think the three top phones out there, it's like, you know, the LG 3 is supposed to be really, really good. I was going to wait for that, but I didn't. That and the S5 and the HTC One M8. Those three, I think, are the top three out there.
I think I'm waiting on the Note 4 at this point.
That's the big one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's too big.
That's the way I roll.
I think when we went to Philly, Fred had one. And I think he'll put the thing up. I think he said he'll put it in his back pocket or I don't know. It's just too big for me.
Yeah. Oh, I'll put it in my front pocket.
Oh, that's in his pants. Oh, I'm not sure. I don't know.
Oh my.
No, I don't mean it. I keep my phone. It's 5 inches, but it fits in my front pocket.
I'm getting uncomfortable.
Wow.
You guys are terrible.
All right. I'm going to rein this thing back in.
Please.
So you guys, anybody have the issue with the bad patches from Microsoft last week?
Not that I know. Bands.
What did it do? No. And I need.
Well, okay. So Friday morning, I got a call that one of my clients, their Windows 7 64-bit computer blue screened. She did updates, it blue screened, and then it would do a basically long string of zeros, 0x50 win32k.sys error, and then it would do its dump, get to 100, and then reboot. and then it would try to repair itself, and then it wouldn't repair itself, and it would basically go through this. And then at one time, it actually repaired itself, and she got to a screen, and then it said, "Do you want to update?" She said, "Yes," and then the cycle started all over again. So I brought it back home, and I thought, "Well, we're gonna have to reload it if I can't figure out what's going on with it." Safe mode would crash in safe mode. Safe mode command prompt would reboot. I mean, I was getting the same error over and over and over again. Only computer. So what I was able to do was let it try to repair, air out, go to the advanced settings, and then throw it back about three days. And then it worked. And I was like, okay, good. We're back up and running. But before that, I had to bring it home because I had to, the local password was forgotten. So then I had to crack that, but I couldn't, it wouldn't boot from the CD correctly, my boot CD. So I had to pull the hard drive out, put it in another machine, crack the password, pull the hard drive back out, put it in another, you know, and basically I got up and running. The reboot, the rollback worked. So what had happened was a couple InfoWorld and Computer World both have come out with a hey, here's what happened. Apparently, Microsoft released, of course, a bad patch, and it caused Windows 7 64-bit computers to do this, but not all of them. I'm hearing stories of people saying, "Oh yeah, we rolled it up to 30 of them, but no issues. 32-bit is not affected. This is the only computer, and of all of the computers, this one worked out really well." But it sounded like maybe it was a font issue.
Really?
So that day, and so that day after Gosh. I got it, yeah,
what
yeah,
after a I got stupid thing.
I know. So it says was designed to fix. So this patch was designed to fix three separate flaws, including one related to font vulnerability and another in the Windows kernel. And so really it was either font or kernel, because that Win32K is a kernel error.
Right.
So rolled it back, did the Windows updates, thinking, well, if it breaks again, at least I know I was able to successfully do all of our updates. So they found out about it, knew about it. I think by the time that I brought it back to my desk back here, started working on it, rolled it back, and then patched it. Microsoft had already pulled it. So it was safe. I deployed it, and it was fine. But I thought I was going to have to reload a computer over the weekend. And
you were saying they pulled a bad update?
They pulled the bad update.
Because I updated the i7 here and the i5, and I had no problems. But right. Maybe it was already pulled. I don't know.
Or for some reason, it's just it.
Certain configurations.
Yeah. It's kind of late by the time that this gets out. People may or may not, probably won't have this issue because they've realized it. But I thought at first something was just that one computer, but it was actually a bad Microsoft patch. So
that is weird. Yeah, because I have six Windows 7 machines here that they all updated fine. So I didn't have that issue. And they're all 64-bit. Well, no, the 7th machine is 32-bit, but I think that one's updated too. So I didn't have that issue.
Okay. Yeah, I updated my wife's and it no issues. So anyways, in the InfoWorld link that'll be in the show notes, there's actually a time frame where they say, Tuesday they did this at 8:20, this happened at 3 p.m. later that day, Thursday. So there's actually a chronological time where they walk through what had happened. So check it out.
A bad patch by
Microsoft is kind of...
Well, and what? I mean, I'm just glancing through this. Excuse me. Doesn't necessarily have a problem immediately. You don't know about it until you reboot. So, hey, folks, reboot. Maybe that's why you haven't had any problems yet. I mean, who knows? Maybe it's installed, but it's showing four different patches. And I suppose that if you suspect, you can look, see if they were installed, I suppose. What do you think? Uninstall it before rebooting? I mean, why?
Pulled it. Pardon me?
I said I wouldn't reboot right now.
No, yeah, no, definitely don't. Look at these patches. If you have them, if you have those KB ones, just uninstall them. I want to mention it so that, Windows Server administrators, if you're using, WSUS or something like that, you go in and block that, keep it from pushing down. And
Let me ask you a question, Martin, because that brings up a good point. So obviously the second Tuesday of the month is Patch Tuesday for Microsoft. So as an administrator in businesses, do you a lot of times... Are you always, do you do it on that Tuesday, or do you kind of wait until maybe a week or so to see if there's any problems before you actually deploy these patches? Because it sounds like your customers almost doing that, doing the updates themselves or whatever.
Yeah, you can. I let them do the updates themselves as well, but I also have WSU installed just to catch everything because, one or two people will be very proactive and do updates. The other ones won't. I could eliminate all of that by just locking that out completely, saying only do patches on Monday So therefore, it's got a you know, almost a full week before the system itself starts pushing out patches.
Right.
That could be an option that I did. I think they were set up on Wednesday, so I know I need to go back and fix that. And this is one of the things that, is it bad planning on my part? Probably, but it happens so very infrequent,
right,
that it's kind of one of those things where you go, but there are the times like now when it really happened, but it only happened to some people, that I probably will, start changing my policies and start pushing out on Mondays. The problem with Monday is that nobody wants to get updates on Mondays. My clients don't want to walk in Monday morning, say, all right, I'm ready to start the day. I'm ready to start the week. And then, now my computer's got to do updates. Nobody wants to do that. So a lot of them really want to do it later.
Well, and I would almost push it out 2 weeks and maybe do it on a Friday.
Well, you can't schedule it at a certain time. You have to schedule a certain day. So if I said Friday, that would be the Friday after the patch.
Yeah.
So you
literally cannot schedule what time you want that to update using WSUS.
I can push it out. I can give it a day and a time. Okay. Those are my options. I can't give it a date.
Oh, I gotcha. So you'd have to figure. I gotcha. Okay. So you'd So it's gonna be random. It's not gonna hit that whatever Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday necessarily. Well,
right, I can give it a Friday, say Friday noon, okay? Now what happens is say the computer's off on Friday. It will happen sometime again when they turn on their computer. Yeah. And it is in random. WSUS pushes out patches randomly because the last thing you want to do, the whole point of that application is to save bandwidth, right? So now you have, say, 50,000 computers or even 100 computers, let's say. If they all at noon on a Friday just start hammering the network, there's a problem there. So it staggers it. It randomizes it and staggers it out. So so the best I could do to keep within the same work week would be to do it probably, say, Friday at noon. That way, hopefully, they would reboot before the end of the day. But then if they just shut their computer off, then Monday morning they walk in and they're like, oh, no, we have a blue screen on a Monday morning.
Yeah, I guess there is no great scenario for that, because obviously you're not going to be sitting there, watching when people update to, catch things that are going to break. I guess it's just one of those things you just have to live with, and if it happens, it happens. You deal with it. If it doesn't, then And I'm almost wondering with vulnerabilities, with Microsoft updates, is it really important to get them down as soon as Microsoft puts them out? I mean, what's the normal rule of thumb, when you're dealing with businesses?
We're talking a thin line between, easeability and security, So, my servers will download the data from Microsoft to themselves, and then they push it out from there. So, when's the best time to do it? I'm under the impression of security, over something else. Just because, because I want to keep things secure. But then I do understand that, their security also equals, it may not be productivity. They may lose productivity because this one, luckily this day another employee was sick. She just changed desks, logged in, everything was good to go. But that's not always the case. So I think that's on a case by case issue of what's going to be the best thing for your job at the time and for your, your clients that you're taking care of.
Well, and I've got a little story that something that happened to one of my customers. He does some work for Chrysler. If somebody gets in an accident, he takes the pictures of the car and files the reports and stuff like that and sends it in to Chrysler. Well, in order to send it in to Chrysler through their website, he has to use Java and he's got to use Internet Explorer. Here's the problem. He's got to use Internet Explorer 8. I can't go any higher than that, okay? He's got to use Java, Java version 6 update 30. it's not that funny because I had to pull my hair out on this one.
and every time he has a revolver that he spins the barrel.
So here's what I've done for my customers, because this is not the first time that I've had to do this. So what I do, if you just put in Java Java 6 update 30 and then the Java installer goes to install Java, it will actually, the newer ones will wipe out that old version of Java. Mm-hmm. So the way that I've gotten around that is I download from the Oracle website Java 6 update 30 and then I install that, and then I'll download Java 7, whatever, right? Whatever the latest one was at that time. I download that, I install that. So the installer will leave 6 alone, it won't touch it. But the other one will maintain and be updated. So at least he has regular Java. If he's using it for another reason, it'll be updated in the system. It keeps, you know, keeps a lot of the holes and vulnerabilities out. The problem I ran into, or my customer ran into, was they have a bad security certificate through Chrysler. It expired in 2006. So we're showing them that they have a bad security certificate. So there's a couple of issues that came up. Number one, Java will on its own block it. The newer Java will actually block it where it can't run. So if you put it on the minimum security requirements, it would automatically block it and say you can't upload your photos or do anything with Java, whatever. So what I had to do was I finally figured this out because I thought I was going to have to reload a system because I could not figure this out. What I did is I turned it all the way down so it would just say there is a bad security certificate. Do you want to accept it? And he presses yes, and then he can upload his photos and still use it. You know, but yeah, with this bad security certificate, now another thing is last patch Tuesday, Microsoft also came out with a patch, supposedly, that is going to start blocking bad instances of Java. So I don't, and they're giving everybody 30 days to comply. So I don't know what's going to happen in the next 20 some odd days that are left, whether or not people are going to have these issues because they have to run an old version of Java or even an old version of IE. Because a lot of businesses, I think my work is still on, you know, IE 7 or 8, you know.
Same thing with me.
You know, so I mean, I don't know what these businesses are going to do. So it's good that Microsoft is pushing these things out. But the problem is it's going to affect some of our customers and how, you know, how we're going to deal with that, you know. Because I've basically done a workaround, which is not a very safe workaround, but it's the only thing I can do so he can operate his day-to-day business.
Right. Yeah, it is tough. I have, you know, I think, like, you know, you mentioned we all have clients who have to use an older version of Internet Explorer. And right, it goes back to that, you know, well, now we're using an older version of Internet Explorer, so now they're unsecure, but now they're productive.
Right, right. It's tough. You know, what do you do? You know, and this guy was on my managed service, so, you know, I basically have to block, you know, the updates to Internet Explorer. I've got to block the, you know, the updates to that secondary Java so it doesn't get rid of it or anything like that. But the only thing I can think is hopefully with the managed services, he's a little more protected, even though some of the things he's using have holes in them.
Yeah.
You know, because it is catching certain things. You know, he's one of these people where he tries to click on stuff. And he was a customer that actually had gotten a phone call. He didn't get a phone call. I think he called somebody, or I can't remember exactly how it happened. Anyways, this guy on the other end of the phone remoted into his machine and showed him his social security number and his wife's social security number. So it freaked him out. So he paid $449 to this company to put WinZip malware removal tool or something like that. Lifetime updates for free.
Excuse me.
It's, wow.
Don't tell Martin. Don't tell Martin. He hasn't heard it yet.
Shh. But don't, I mean, that's it. But that's, you know, it's terrible for the customers out there to, you know, I had to tell them, I said, you've been taken advantage of. I said, you need to file a police report and this and that and the other. And it just sucks because you're trying, he felt bad because he didn't call me. And I'm like, dude, don't worry about it. So we'll get you straightened out. So that's when I put him on a managed service plan. So yeah, hopefully with that, he'll be a little more secure down the road. That's my hope. But, you know, I update on my personal machines. I update everything all the time. Mm-hmm. When there's an update, I just update, you know, and yep, move on. So,
you know what? All right. So this is great because I'm seeing that this computer that I reinstalled and built just for our show here, which it's, I'm not bragging about or anything, but you know, it's getting it done. It's great. It's all happy. And, I think I got up and walked away from it last Tuesday, and I come back here and sit down, and it hasn't been rebooted, but I noticed that one of these patches has been installed.
Oh.
Yeah, which is fantastic. So, and I love it because this patch that potentially is going to break my machine once if I restart it here. I lost the page. The update adds a font. It adds, where'd it go? It adds the ruble glyph, which I gotta tell you, you know what I'm thinking. I don't know which way to go here because
like a blue screen, but I won't have like, but I might have the Rubel glyph. I mean,
I don't know.
I'm gonna put it to the chat room. I'm gonna put it in the chat room. I'm not gonna reboot until next Tuesday. I'll reboot on the air.
If you could reboot ten minutes before the show, that'd be great.
Oh yeah, it'd be awesome.
I'll reboot on the air, and you know what? We'll draw a prize. If I come back, we'll draw a prize for a door prize for someone in the chat room.
Now
we'll give away a copy of D something.
That'd be awesome.
Now, I wonder what would happen if you either pulled the drive or went into, you know, like a Windows PE environment and pulled that font out of there, if the blue screen would go away.
Well, but it's also a kernel update.
Oh, so yeah, so no, it's in the It's in the system anyway, so it wouldn't matter.
I actually did. one of these pages shut it, but somebody did offer a very simple solution to at least one of these like blue screen deals where you boot up the Windows repair disk, and it gave a file that you could delete. I'll throw that in chat here once I rediscover where that was.
Well, speaking of security, I may be opening a can of worms, kind of getting late in the show, but we'll go with this anyways here. Facebook Messenger. Yeah. All right.
Those are two words that are awful in and of themselves.
Okay, so here's the thing. For people not aware of this hubbub that's been going on, Facebook Messenger, at least on the Android, when you install it on the Android, it asks permissions to use access to identity, contacts and calendar, location, SMS, phone, photos, media files, camera, microphone, Wi-Fi connection information, device ID and call information, and then just other. So what's happening is I'm seeing a lot of people on Facebook say, that's it. I'm removing Facebook. Facebook, you're no longer using my Messenger. If you don't want to, you know, if you want to get a hold of me, call my cell, text me, whatever like that. Part of the reason, probably the problem with this is that when you open up Facebook and you're on your phone and you want to message somebody, it says you have to install the Messenger.
Yeah.
So they're doing that. Now, the big thing is big blow up of Facebook's asking to use everything on your phone. And people are really concerned that this is a security flaw, that it's more of the Facebook Big Brother trying to watch what you guys are doing. What are your guys' thoughts on this?
Well, I was going to say, one of the things I think a lot of people have to understand, and this is the way it was explained to me a long time ago, is that a lot of these permissions, number one, the way they're put out or the way that they're presented, they kind of cover a whole gambit of things. So a lot of times, some of these permissions that they have to ask for to do things that we want Facebook Messenger or another application to do, they just kind of throw it into a pile. And it's not necessary that they're using any of these things to spy on us and stuff like that. And I, you know, so to me, the one thing I don't like about Facebook Messenger, to be honest with you, is the chat heads are fine, but it took me forever to figure out how to get rid of a stupid chat head. You know, and here's the thing, for Facebook, my son was in Afghanistan for about 9 months, and because he had his phone with him, but there's no phone signal, so he had to use the wireless data. When that was available, that's the only way I communicated with them, using Facebook Messenger before I had to use the app. So I was just using it through Facebook. That's how I communicated with my son. So to me, Facebook was invaluable. That's why I would use it no matter what. But you know, that's a single use case scenario. So
right. Well, the Facebook this new Messenger, and this is kind of where this the not knowing, you know, what the Messenger really does. So the Facebook, and you know, I've removed it because I don't need it. I don't like the heads either. So I'm like, forget it. I'm not going to worry about it. But what it does is it really doesn't, like you said, it doesn't need all of that information, but they've bundled a package together. This Messenger is not just your normal text messenger that may just need access to your contacts. You can call from within it. So it has to have access to your call. It has to have access to your phone from that. You can do a video chat within the Messenger now. So it has to have access to your camera.
Right.
You know, it has to have access to your microphone. It has to have access to your location because you can send somebody, hey, here's my location. Blink. And so it has all of this stuff in that it's asking for. So people are saying, oh no, look at what it's going to access. Well, yes, it's going to access that when you ask it to access that. It's not just on listening to what you have to say and doing that. I mean, that's my take on it,
I guess.
But I thought I'd bring it up because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of hype out there.
Yeah. Let me say one more thing about the, you know, this is my opinion when it comes to phones and stuff like that. If you do not want to be tracked in any form or fashion, you need to get rid of each and every cell phone that you own and don't own any. because guess what? I don't care what you do. You know, even short of pulling the battery out, I'm pretty sure there's still enough power left in this little thing that you could probably get a GPS signal.
Right.
So I don't think it really matters. You just need to, you know, if you're going to do something bad, make sure you toss this in a lake before you do that. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Hear, hear. I was talking to, gosh, who was I talking to? It must have been one of the last shows. I was talking to somebody, and oh, I have a friend who works, and his job is, and I don't have digital cable, but he works for a company that, you know, when you could be watching a show and all of a sudden it'll pop up in the bottom and you have like a quiz or, I guess there's shows that they're usually, you know, primetime comedy shows and or whatever, but they'll pop up at the bottom and it's kind of an interactive pop up inside of a TV show. Well, he works for a company that creates all that, and they test it, and they're actually listening for when the show is going on. They're actually listening to key phrases that cause the pop up to actually happen. They're listening to audio within the show. And he was talking about this, and I was watching a demo of it. I'm like, all right, this is kind of, you know, I told him, I said, this is very, you know, this is kind of Big Brother-ish. Like, really, you're kind of watching what I'm watching to know, so you can quiz me. And then I left his work and we said bye, and I talked with him later. And then I drove to Fred Meyer's and I bought some stuff, right? Well, what's the first thing I do? I scan my Fred Meyer's card. Now it comes coupons for crap that I've already bought because they already know what I'm doing. So I'm giving him a bad time about, you know, this being Big Brother. And then I turn around and use my Safeway Club card, my Costco card, my, you know what I mean?
You really call it Fred Meyer's?
Well, what else? What do you call it?
It's just Meyer's here.
No, we like to use the first name. Mr. Fred would be very upset.
Mr. Fred.
You know, has anybody, okay, so let me ask you this. Has anybody downloaded the Open Mic Plus app on their Android phone?
Oh,
no.
Okay, so the Open Mic, so I was playing around with it because I just found it interesting. You know how some of the phones have, they're always on? And actually, mm-hmm. I think that you can have a plug-in on Google Chrome that will do the same thing if you have a mic hooked up. And basically, you say, you know, Google, you know, go get me a beer or whatever. But anyways, it will activate the phone.
Ironically, my 12-year-old daughter's named Google.
But the only thing with this app was, I thought I'd try it out. So I put it on the phone and, you know, was just kind of playing around with it. But then what I noticed was I would go to use Voxer, and Voxer would pop up and say, your mic is already being used in another app. So I couldn't use two mic apps simultaneously. So, but so none of you guys have messed with that app to see, you know.
No.
I just wonder if you're driving and stuff like that, if that would be something that would be, you know, hey, text so-and-so and, you know, give your message or something like that, if it would be useful for people.
Well, I know on my phone, if I push the button twice and I can say something like, okay, Google, and then
you got to push it.
Well.
That takes effort.
I mean, it's usually right here when I'm driving anyway, so it doesn't really matter. For people listening to the audio, it was right in front of my face.
You know, one thing I've always wanted, I've wanted a phone holder that would attach my phone to my steering wheel.
But then what happens if you're turning?
You don't have the cord attached. I mean, hopefully you got a decent enough battery.
No. I'm just saying the phone will be upside down.
You only turn it for a second.
That's a long turn.
Yeah. Well, maybe you're going, hey. Maybe you're in the city and you're on like the 10th floor of a car parking garage and you're going in circles. See?
In the Google Maps will be unorientated. So.
Oh, it totally does. I've done that before and I'm like, shut up. I just want to know how to get out of this, like from the general location of the city, get out of the city. And it's always like, make a left, make a right, make a left, make a right, make a left. Yeah. It's a pain. It's a pain.
Recalculating.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the nature of my dash. Well, actually, I'm sure it is. But that phone, the dash kind of slopes away a little bit toward the windshield. So that phone, it just sets right there. It's beautiful. I stand it up, it just sits there.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as long as the window's not down, I don't take a sharp turn because it would fly right out the window. But I mean, it just sits. Which, and it's like a little. It should be bigger. It's like a little heads up display. I just right there.
That's what I've noticed. I can set mine down on my dashboard, and it's just too small. That's why I want it on my steering wheel.
Or to be much bigger. You want to look down, though. I mean, that's
yeah.
Down. Well, I don't know. Maybe you're already looking. You just stare at that airbag, just waiting for that son of a light to go off. Oh gosh! Hey, you know what? I'll tell you what. I mean, this is around the subject. You know, a lot of these guys that I've met playing this crazy, you know, phone game, you know, in their cars. Over time, there has been, you know, a lot more. Is everybody still there?
Yeah, we're still there.
Oh, you know what? That's funny because I looked at my screen. I thought I'd frozen because everybody's just sitting there like.
I thought you froze because you stopped saying something.
Right.
Well, that's funny. I'll do that from time to time. But no, I've seen like these really elaborate things, and I mean, there's all kinds of crazy stuff for sale on Amazon. There's big like suction cups and the windshield, these like arms that come out and they're all adjustable. And I mean, this one guy, you know, he's got the tablet stuck in this one. He's got the Nexus thing stuck in that one. It's like an octopus of like arms coming out of his windshield, just like shoving devices in his face. And he's like, I love this because I can blow the air conditioner around the back of it. And I'm like, well, I could just set my own dashboard like that, you know. But there's a lot of like really awesome stuff out there for like, you know, car mount hardware that I don't spend my days looking at that stuff on the internet. So you see it, I'm like, well, that's pretty fantastic.
Right. No, there's some cool stuff. It's hard to know how well it's going to work until you actually buy it and use it, though. That's the only problem I have.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's it. I mean, seeing like this stuff in this car, especially when you get somebody that has used it and they can say, I like this about it, or, you know, I hate this about it.
Right.
You should get a really good user review. Amazing stuff. I don't know. I guess it's not that amazing. There's all kind of crap out there.
Oh, no. I look, man, you know what? I still search the internet a lot of times before I go to buy something. And a lot of times, man, I'll be searching something 6 months before I actually go to buy it, you know. Not, you know, sometimes, you know, depending on if it's inexpensive, you know, I might look a couple days and then before I figure out what I'm going to buy. But no, I love the internet. I mean, whenever I go to shop for a car, I already look up what kind of car I want. I know what it's going to have in it. I know what the payment's going to be. So I walk in there going, this is what I want. I want it to have this, this, and this on there. I never, it doesn't take me nothing to buy a car. Matter of fact, I used to have a dealer that I would just call him up and say, hey, here's what I want. And I'd go in, sign the paperwork, 10 minutes, boom, take the car, boom, done. And, you know, it's the same thing with appliances or whatever. I already figure what I want before I even walk in because I'm able to search the internet and go, you know, and it's nice having it on the phone because I can walk into I had to buy a washer and dryer a couple weeks ago, and I can walk in the shop and go, yeah, you got these on sale right now online, you know, $5.99, you know, whatever. And they're like, oh, that's a good deal because normally these things are like, you know, $900 on their inflated price. But it's still, you know, you look at these deals and you're able to show it to them and there's nobody can really mess with you because you go into these stores already loaded with, you know, all the information that you need to make a good purchasing decision. Yeah. I love the internet.
I think it's okay. But no, I'm just so obvious. But you know what? Actually, and that's the connection is mobile, is that you had all the information on the internet at home and then you go in the store where you need it. But it's having that mobile device actually capable of bridging that gap. And, you know, at the last minute, pulling up some last little bit of info or something, you know, having that thing in your hand, scanning UPCs in the store,
right?
It's put so much power in the hands of the consumer, you know, pretty much at the time when people don't even want to be bothered. But if you compare, I mean, it's fantastic how much opportunity you have to really shop around. Uh-oh.
Well, you know, Target does that, and how I've beat that system is I basically find it online, go, oh, here's the internet price. I order it to pick it up in a store, and then I go down there and pay for it and pick it up. So you kind of beat the system that way. I've never been able to get it to do them in the store, and that's why I've always gone and, you know, just done it at home.
So what, you order it online, have it shipped, go to the store and buy one, and then you open that, and then when the one comes delivered, you just take it to the store and return it? Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's what you said.
No. You know how you can, if you buy something, you can buy something and then pick it up in the store instead of having it shipped to you?
It's delivered. Yeah. Store delivery.
Yep. So they've always got it in the store, whatever it is. It's just, I don't know why they do a separate internet price and a separate price that's on, you know, on the shelf at the store. It doesn't make any sense. But, you know, they do what they want because they can.
if it didn't cost less on the internet, people would buy it from somewhere else on the internet. And if it didn't cost more in the store,
they would lose money because people in there are just buying things that they want.
Yeah.
You know what
well,
I mean?
You know, they say a lot of, you know, that the aisleway in the grocery store right by the cash register, not aisleway, but the little case that has candy and little, you know, toe clippers and all that kind of, I mean, just all these little knickknacks and different things that, you know, because they know that's a lot of their revenue. And it's amazing how many things are bought when you get up to the cash register, you know, because it's right there. It's convenient. Yeah. Yep. So
all those places are engineered. Every square inch of those is engineered to get as much money out of your pocket as possible.
Yep. Oh, no. I you know, I tell people all the time, I said, here's the biggest problem with people when they go to buy brand new systems. And I will send people to Best Buy to buy a system. But what I tell them is, I said, don't buy any warranties. Don't buy any extra antivirus. Don't buy nothing. Just buy the computer. Here's the price. You know, pay for it. Bring it straight to me. And I pull Norton or McAfee off there because it's only a 60-day trial. And here's what happens. Right. People that set up their own computers, that 60-day trial is gone in 60 days. And then Windows Defender, which comes on the computer, now that doesn't work. It's disabled. And so they've got nothing working on there. I'm like, you know, if you don't want to pay for antivirus, that's fine. But, you know, we're at least going to get a working antivirus on here of some sort instead of you, you know, being 60 days out and then all of a sudden you're infected with a bunch of things and then I've got to spend 3 days cleaning a computer up, you know.
So we got an email this week. It says, hey, Geeksters, I just heard about this tool called Decrypt Crypto Locker. I have not got to try it yet, but I thought you might like to share it. The link is below. Love the show. Keep up the great work. Thank you, David Knoll, Knoll's PC Service in Marshfield, Wisconsin. And I thought, we should talk about this. So I did submit my sister's data, actually twice on accident, but that's fine. And both two emails came back saying they could not find the key for that. They said it could be the data, so go ahead and submit it again, because I submitted a PDF. So I submitted another document, a .doc this time, and we'll see what happens from that. And so I was talking to Dor about this last night. And I was trying to figure out why you have to submit an email with it. And I have a feeling the email, when you go to Decrypt Crypto Locker, it wants an email. Okay, so if you haven't listened to the last show, we talk about it, but they have found some of the keys, possibly not all of the keys that encrypted your computer with the Crypto Locker virus. So what you can do is you can submit a document that has been, or data that has been encrypted, and then they, if they have the keys, they'll decrypt it, find the right key for you, send you the key back with instructions on how to use their application with some variables in the application, you know, .exe with some variables at the end of it to decrypt your data if you have a copy of it. Well, I happen to have a copy of my sister's data. So I think the email is just correspondence. But I think that's all it is back. I don't think the Crypto Locker virus has anything to do with the email. I think that's just correspondence. I think what they do is they take the file you send them and they run all of their keys through it. And if they find a match, then they say, great, this is the key. And then they send that key back to you. So we'll see what happens. But I did send it, did get a nice email back saying we couldn't find a key that matched this. But we'll, you know, maybe this next one will work because, like I said, I did send a PDF and this way I just sent a .doc.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to match up the hashes. So if it can find the key that matches that particular hash, then it, they'll send you the key, and then you can unlock all those files. I know Dor is also telling me on the last Security Now podcast, Steve Gibson was talking about it, and he went into a whole thing on these a couple of companies that got together and were actually providing these. So
yeah, FireEye and yes. Fox IT.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But thank you, David. Sorry that, you know, like I said, we talked about it on episode 128. I went in kind of a little bit more in-depth to it, but I always like to get emails.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Emails Tim, are cool.
Tim, anything going on with you or this last week?
Yeah. I had actually a very interesting repair I'd like to share. So, now that you guys are all done carrying on about stuff. No.
Well, we're just warming up.
I'm going to talk about something nobody cares about. Now it's it was a very unusual repair. It was fun and it was very successful in the end, and it was the best because it was with my son. It was on his 3DS, and so I was kidding you guys about all that stuff. But I love hardware. I love cracking open something new, and for my boy to trust me, his old man,
with his 3DS. I feel like we made a connection there. So, problem was that, first of all, every crevice, nook and cranny of this device was cake full of, like, peanut butter of various vintages. So, there was a lot of, like, cleanup as we tore it out. But ultimately, the problem was that there's two shoulder buttons that work as a left-right. One had stopped working quite a while ago, and then the other one finally quit very recently, which apparently drove him to this madness of asking his father to help him fix something. You know, I only do it for a living, but you know what, Dad? I don't know. gosh. If he needed it fixed, I don't know who he'd take it to. But it just so happens I like live in the same house with him. And that's what I do. I fix these small things. But he had to think about it. So anyway, he brings it to me. And it was cool. I mean, we tore it down. And these things, they're meant to be replaced as a unit. And we could have ordered a couple new ones once you got into it. It was just it was a real funny ribbon cable with a little tiny button on it. But I think a set of them were like $12. Left and right were $12 from eBay. But I like to try it. Not on customer stuff. I mean, if somebody brings you something, boom. Order a part, replace the part, send them on their way, everybody's happy. But when it's my stuff here, it's like, I don't like to hang parts if I can, like, if I can fix the part, you know, I love hardware and that's my gig. If I can make a part, I would make it if I could, instead of ordering it. Obviously, as you can't do so much of that, but I just love hardware. And so and especially with him, man, we worked on it. So the little tiny button, I mean, it was just, I never did come up with something to just this little tiny button. It had this itty bitty little rubber piece. I had to pry it out, and we soaked him in alcohol and with a glasses screwdriver, a little tiny one. You could just kind of poke through that hole, just a little bit bigger than considerably bigger than, I guess, a paper clip. But I mean, I just had to like poke it in there and kind of work that button while the alcohol was in there. And that ended up fixing it. Whatever was in there, corrosion or peanut butter, I don't know what was in there. Like, just filth. Letting it dry out and reassembling it. Actually fixed it. Now, for how long, I don't know, but unfortunately, the little rubber piece was so small, and I couldn't get it back in on the one, and it just, like, flew. Like, I don't know. I just saw it, like, flying away from me until it just, like, disappeared, and who knows where it went. And I'm like, oh, man, this is no good. So I said, geez, Alex, I said, buddy, we lost that little rubber piece. I fixed it, but we lost that little rubber piece.
Why did you lose that?
So anyway, he's like, what are you going to do? So he went off to do something else. And I got I cut up a little rubber band. I cut up a rubber band and I kind of like fabricated one. Because I don't want to replace parts if I can. I like to fix them. So I reassembled it and it both worked. And he was like thrilled. He goes, well, how'd you, did you find that part? I said, no. I said, I made one. And I pointed at the rubber band and I think I've got his work from now on. I think he's going to bring me his stuff. So
very nice.
So anyway, the little shoulder buttons in the DS, 3DS, that's a very common problem. I suggest ordering the parts from eBay and do it yourself. But if anybody who can turn a screwdriver and keep track of a handful of little screws, it's actually a very, very easy job. It's cheap. And go ahead and try doing it yourself. There's a lot of those things out there. Well, see, I want them to open it up and then send it to me when they don't want to do it. It's actually a very, very easy job. I recommend doing it.
Well, that's cool. And it gave you, I mean, it's cool because you got to fix something, but it's cool because you and your son got a chance to just sit and work on.
I kind of make light out of it, but I mean, it's whenever you get an opportunity to do anything with your kid, like voluntarily sitting next to you, those times are rare. And not because of availability or anything, but it's like, it's trying to find a moment where you connect with each other on some level and the same thing at the same time. Unfortunately, my daughter, that, you know, she's a couple years older, I have discovered what those things are. Boy and I, we haven't quite found that overlap yet. The little overlapping bits in the Venn diagram. And so, but it was fantastic.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. And in the chat room, no special screws. You just need tiny screwdrivers.
Yeah, I tell you, with my kids, I always, with every one of mine, we've always built a computer together, you know, at least one, so you get that experience. And matter of fact, my daughter is going to build her first computer. She actually had a laptop, and She wants a, she's 19, but she wants a regular desktop computer to watch, you know, internet shows and stuff on in her room. So we'll be building that this week.
Oh, that's awesome. Building, I've had my kids with me as I was putting stuff together and tried to quite, I didn't have a lot of that growing up. I wish I'd, I had more time around somebody who was like taking things apart, pointing them out, and kind of telling me. I was in the garage this morning, and same thing. I get the kid. I drug him out there, man. It's like my wife was going to come pump the brakes, but it's like, no, I'm throwing the kid in there.
Yep.
You know, at some point, he's got to know these things. Oh, actually, I had my daughter, and should I be concerned that, I mean, she's going to sixth grade. Should I be concerned that I asked her which is the left or which is the brake and which is the gas, and she like didn't even think about it. She just told me.
No, you're just quizzing her.
I said, which is. Why does the sixth grader know that?
Well, because they probably go-karts and stuff and watch you drive. I mean,
or played video games.
There you go.
No, never mind. None
of those things. Wow.
Nope. Yeah. I thought your answer was good, Jeff. So I don't know.
Should I be concerned that when I said I have to go for a test, she said, "What's left to do? You got to put the tires." I said, "I put the wheels back on, take it for a test drive." She said, "Am I driving it?" What are you talking about? I guess after pumping the brakes, she thought she was going to go drive it, take it for a test drive.
And did you let her?
What was I going to do? I said, yeah, go ahead. I mean,
there you go. Exactly.
It was brake work. I'm not going to drive it.
New brakes. It was a steep hill. Love to try it out. Have fun.
No, of course I'm not. That one there, she's a trip. Well, anyway, so that was it. It was a DS3, so 3DS, whatever.
Cool. Yeah,
we got the peanut butter out.
Some of those smaller devices sometimes are hard to work on, but when you can do something like that and pull it apart and fix it easily, that makes it nice.
Yeah.
It's got to be your gig. I mean, some people like to work on Outlook, self off a cliff.
I'm with you, Tim. I still love hardware. I don't think I'll ever stop doing hardware.
This is my gig. So, one of the best things all of that time that Steve spent pushing the laptop videos, the laptop repair, and all the things take. I don't think I would have torn one apart, but I wouldn't have been like so excited about it and ready just to rip it to pieces and put it back together. And I mean, he's just always talking about it. That has cascaded. I mean, it's like the desktops, then the laptops, and then we get this. Now it's like repairing phones. We literally get back to like, it's watch repair. And man, I love it. I could sit there and just work in little bits all day. And I would never have taken such a thing apart if I hadn't started with, you know, something bigger.
Yeah, I probably need to do phones, but it's just not one of the things that have. I took apart a iPod Touch one time, and that was enough for me. I was like, and I, you know, in my understanding, talking to people like Max Monty and stuff like that, the iPhones are not that bad. You know, I know a lot of people don't get into the Android phones because there's so many different ones, and quite honestly, the parts are quite expensive for the Android phones. So
true. The bottom line is that. Some of these small devices, many of them are glued together and weren't engineered to be disassembled. So some of them, it's worth it, and some of them, it's like you just send it for a new one. There are other devices that are screwed together, and those were engineered to be disassembled, repaired, and reassembled. So that's the bottom line.
Hey, have you ever thought about ordering? I haven't ordered one yet, but the iFixit mat. The magnetic mat that they have for taking apart small devices, you can put the screws and stuff on there.
I've seen those. You mean like where they're marked out, where all
go? They're dry erase, but it's also a magnet where you can just kind of throw the screws on there or put them in an order to put it back together.
You know what? Anybody starting out that's planning on doing a few, I would go for it because I think that's pretty fantastic. Oh no, I guess that I've been tearing so much stuff apart for so long. I feel very comfortable in the way that I lay things out.
I don't lay anything out. I just throw it all into a bowl.
I throw mine on the carpet.
Then
I use the mat to pick it up.
People get irritated with me when I say that. I'm not kidding you. I just throw it all into a bowl.
That's fine if they're all the same size and length. You know, laptops anymore are fairly consistent. But
yeah, there's like maybe two. And that's why I tell people all the time. There's like maybe two or three sizes at the most in a laptop anymore to tear it all the way down. So, and most of them are marked. You know,
yeah,
6mm, 8mm, 5mm, whatever. Yeah.
Yep.
Really? You know, one of the things that, the only reason I was thinking about that mat is one of the things that sometimes when I'm picking these things up or if I'm going to set them down, I'll drop them or it bounces off the table, it goes into the carpet, and it's like, in these little tiny screws, it's like, it'd be nice to have a little magnetic mat where you can just kind of just throw them on there and hopefully it would hold them from rolling around and stuff, so. especially with the smaller devices. But, you know, laptops, not so much. But it seems like when I took that iPod Touch apart, man, there were so many tiny screws. And it's like, where does this one go? And where does that one go?
Yeah.
Not back in.
No. Not, you know, not when I ripped the volume ribbon cable and, you know, cracked the screen. And, yeah, it sucked.
Yeah, it sucked. Every time you do that, you know, an engineer at Apple quietly laughs to himself.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, Jeff, thanks for coming out tonight. And I don't know what happened there. I just kind of mumbled my words together. Anyways, thanks for coming out and hanging out with us tonight.
I appreciate it, guys. This has been a lot of fun just hanging out with you guys. Like I said, I listen to your show all the time, and it's just fun to listen to you guys. And it's been great being on the show and actually getting to meet you guys. You know, even though it's via internet, it's still cool and getting to see the faces and stuff like that. So.
Well, I'll be in Columbus coming up here in a couple months. So
really,
yeah, I'll be going to OLF. So
that's right. That's it. Come Is on. That a Linux thing or something?
Yeah, it's okay. A Linux thing.
When there's a Windows one, let me know.
they're underground. I don't know, to be honest with you. So, but Jeff, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way how?
Well, probably the best way to get a hold of me is, you know, if especially the technicians and stuff, just get a hold of me at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. That's the easiest way.
Nice. Mitch, people want to get a hold of us? Yeah. I can say, you know, like, if, you know, they want to send an email. Is it really? Well, no, his is different.
Same as last week, whatever we said.
I think it's geeksters@podnuts.com, isn't it? Yeah. Last time I checked. Yeah, well, maybe it'll be for a New Year's show. I will figure it out. It's only Jeff. No, wait. Yeah. Too many Jeffs. Anyways. No, not that. No, of course it's not that, Jeff. Why would he send a voicemail when he's going to come here?
I thought about it, but I just haven't yet.
You should have. Send us a voicemail. Say, I'm glad to be here on the show today. All right. Tim, if you want to get a hold of you.
Tim Bauermeister on the G+.
Nice. And they can always get a hold of me, martin@obandocomputing.com. I'm mobando, usually on Google+. You can check me there. I'm @obando_computing in the chat. I want to thank Jeff again for coming out. Listen to him, podnuts.com, Podnuts Daily, Podnuts. Oh my gosh, we've talked about so many things today. We talked about phones. If you like to learn more about phones and the geekery stuff that goes inside of phones, check out Mobile Dynasty. That's another great one. We've talked about Linux for the rest of us. Podnuts does a Linux show, Simple Linux for the Rest of Us one. And of course, Tim, how many Christmas days? How many days till Christmas?
I don't know. You know what? Who knows? I mean, next week I'm going to reboot that machine. I mean, never come back.
All right. Well, Tim, if you need a new machine, I know where you can get a new machine.
You know what? When my screen goes black, I'm gone. I'm like Max Headroom over here.
All right. Well, if you need something new, podnuts.com/Amazon.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was like, oh, I'll be right back. And we're going that Amazon thing together. What was that link again, pal? I'm sorry. I totally.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. It's over now. I'm gonna go buy some friends at podnuts.com/Amazon.
Buy some friends.
And some self confidence.
I'm gonna go buy a Clue.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming out with us and hanging out. We will see you all next week. Bye, guys.
D72 is here. Go to foolishit.com for more information.